from the Philippines to China to Tanzania. Join us on a journey with our fire missionaries today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I have just been absolutely thrilled this week. I've said it's kind of like a kid in a candy shop or a grandfather showing off pictures of grandkids as we have our missionaries in from many different countries where they're serving, making an amazing impact for the Lord, touching hurting people, touching the poorest of the poor, touching the lost, or reaching Muslims, reaching lost people in different nations, atheists in China and Muslims in Iraq and on and on. And we've got missionaries joining us. These are all grads from our school or those who've joined together through our grads from the Philippines, Tanzania, China, and working right here in the States. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, make sure you go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Catch yesterday's show as soon as you're able. And then don't miss a minute of the next 2 hours. I believe you will be stirred. And I said yesterday, and I want to repeat today, that this is not just another radio broadcast. Thank God for every radio broadcast making a difference for the gospel. But I want to say plainly, this is not just another radio broadcast. This is a voice of a worldwide gospel movement. This is the hub of what we do around the world. And I want to encourage you this week that wherever God has you, wherever you live, your neighborhood, you can make a difference. You can be a missionary. You can be a soul winner. You can be one that brings help and relief to hurting, dying people. God can use you where you are. God can use your prayers. And God may want to send you somewhere else. Before I introduce Tina and Kim Villanueva, who are ministering in the Philippines, and Kim himself, a Filipino who is married into our fire family, before I talk to you about the Philippines, this amazing network of several thousand islands, and we've got a team now of 11 couples and 5 singles and all their kids serving in the Philippines. Before I introduce them to you, I want to take you back to our school of ministry, Fire School of Ministry. You catch that word, Line of Fire, Fire School of Ministry, Fire International, our home congregation, Fire Church. We believe in Jesus' revolution, meaning that Jesus changes us and we go and change our world. One of our grads wrote a song on that theme. We have it on a live CD, and I just want to play part of this clip about Jesus' revolution, and then we're going to take you to the Philippines. So, Andrew, that is clip number 2.
Shaking everything. This is the hour. This is the generation. There's a people standing. There's a voice that's crying out. There's a banner being raised for righteousness. This is the hour. This is the generation.
How do we take ground, friends? By intimidation, by anger, by guns and knives. No, by the gospel, by service, by compassion, by irresistible love, by the power of the Spirit. You're going to hear about that firsthand from the Philippines when we come back. Yes, Lord, send a revolution.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this special Missions Emphasis Week here at The Line of Fire, which again is the hub, is the voice of the worldwide movement of which we are a part, a worldwide gospel movement. I'm not going to be taking a lot of calls, but I'm going to take some calls if they're relevant. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. But sit back, be blessed, be stirred, enjoy the broadcast. Okay, I want to start with Tina, with the wife of this couple, because Tina is a grad of our ministry school, and then as a missionary in the Philippines, met her husband from the Philippines, Kim. So we'll hear from Kim in a moment, but we're gonna start with the wife first. Tina, how old are you now?
I'm 25.
25 years old. And when did you graduate from our ministry school?
In 2008.
Okay. When you came here, what was your purpose in coming to the school, and what did you think God was calling you to do?
Well, when God called me to come to Bible school, I thought I was coming to be a worship leader and had no plans at all to be a missionary.
Why didn't you have plans to be a missionary? Did you think you want to stay in the States, or it just wasn't for you?
I thought I wanted to stay in the States. It was the last thing I wanted to do. If I was serving the Lord, I never wanted to be a missionary.
All right. Now, you can be a worship leader overseas, too.
Yes, I found that
out. So how did God get you from America to the Philippines? Well, that's pretty far away.
Well, during school, I started to soften my heart towards missions, but by the end of graduation, I thought, well, maybe when I'm older and I'm established, I have children, I have a husband, then I'll go on the field. But about a year after graduating, I was working at a school, and it was really, you know, it was a ministry in my heart, but it wasn't exactly how I wanted to be in ministry. And someone invited me on a short-term trip to the Philippines, dear friends of mine, and I thought, well, you know, I work in a school. I have 2 months off during the summer, so I'll just go. And the Filipinos would always ask me there, are you going to come? Are you looking to stay? And I'm always saying, no, I'm not going to stay. But then as the trip went on, probably halfway through it, I got introduced to the street children, who many of them live in either very, very small houses and homes, or they live exactly on the streets, and we would go out and we'd minister to them and share the love of Jesus, and my heart started softening towards it, and God started showing me that this is something that I could really be doing in my life.
So here you are, a single young woman, you go over to the Philippines. Of course, we have a big team there of our grads, and that helps a lot, but it's a foreign country.
Yes.
It's very, very, very different. You go over there, and then you meet Kim.
Yep.
All right, and how long have you been married now?
We've been married a year.
A year. All right, Kim, welcome to the Fire family. Nice to have you as a son grafted in. Yeah. So, Kim, how old are you?
I'm 30 now.
30.
I'm turning 30 in coming Sunday.
Okay, and even though you speak English in the Philippines, there's a native language. What's that called?
It's a Tagalog language.
All right, greet our listeners.
Okay, to all of you guys, magandang hapon sa inyong lahat and kamusta sa inyo. It means good afternoon and hello to all of you.
All right. Now, probably in the States, if people know someone from the Philippines, if they're into sports, they know Manny Pacquiao,
yeah.
The famous boxer. But we don't know a lot about the Philippines. So this is a network of islands. How many islands are there?
They said it consists of almost 7,000 islands.
Almost 7,000 yeah. Islands. Okay. And it's largely Catholic.
Yeah, it is.
All right, but is it kind of a traditional Catholicism where there's a lot of superstition added in with it and things?
Yes, it is.
All right, and what about poverty? How does that compare with, say, you're in the States, you're seeing things a little bit. How does it compare to the States?
The poverty there and here, it's kind of a little bit, of course, different. Like when I got here for the first time, I saw a beggar. Or a beggar, she's asking for money. And in the Philippines, our beggar is just asking for food, you know? I mean, there's a lot of homeless people in here, but in the Philippines, they are not supported by government.
Mm.
So they just living in the streets without food. And these kids, like, they can just eat once a day or twice a day if it's, you know, they're lucky.
And are there a lot of kids who are not able to get an education?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, so you met Tina. You're a Filipino. You're from this country. But you have a burden to make a difference for Jesus. What burns in your heart? What's the calling that God's placed in you?
Yeah, when I met her, I mean, there's a lot of things that God had put in my heart. I mean, I am really passionate to serve more, and especially to reach out these young people. Like, I'm one of those young people before who got wandered and lost.
That's your own background?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
It's kind of sad thing. Like, I mean, when we're kids, we attend this Christian church, but, I mean, we didn't really, I mean, learn, you know, about this Christian teachings. Like, we're just attending there because our parents had told us to do so.
Okay.
But, I mean, as we grew up, we didn't really understand the word. I mean, we attended the Sunday school, but later on, and the age of 14, 15, 16, 17, I got into this like influence of my friends. And then until then, at the age of 18, I met a missionary, and he would ask me if I attended a church, because I'm just going everywhere, and I'm actually serving in a Catholic church before during in my teenager. And then at that time, he introduced me about God and Jesus. He's actually a Korean missionary, and he led me to the Lord, where I really understood the real salvation.
All right, so you knew what it is to grow up with a form of Christianity and not to know Jesus personally.
Yeah.
So you got born again, you're 18 years old, and now you've got a burden to serve in your own country and to team up with a foreign missionary.
Yeah.
So, Tina, the work that you're doing now with some of our other fire missionaries there, who are you focused on? Paint a picture of the type of people you're reaching and the needs that you're being confronted with.
Well, God put us together with Eric Miller. He was on the show a few months ago, I think, and his family, and we work together with them in a church. The church is located right in the midst of many squatter homes. You can cross the streets, and they're living in their little shacks.
So little shacks. Mm-hmm. What's a little shack look like?
Probably the size of a lot of people's restrooms here in America. There's
really?
A family of five or seven, and you can see right through. You know, some of them are on stilts over the ocean. You can see right through to the ground. You know, and if there's a high tide that comes in, it's right underneath their houses, and the only thing that's holding it up is these little posts.
Amazing. Yeah, I was staying at a hotel in Florida the other day on my way back from Israel, and it had a really big bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that this bathroom is the size of some people's homes in the third world, except the bathroom was much nicer.
Yes.
So there's a lot of poverty. And what about the kids? What happens to them?
Well, a lot of them, you know, the parents, a lot of them are loved and a lot of them are not. You'll see, it's very, very common to see, you know, five-year-olds walking across the road on their own with no parents. The parents have no idea where they are, and they probably don't even care. And then there's some who are loved, and, you know, that's great, but still the poverty is so strong. They'll try to get them through school, but often they have to drop out at a very young age, because even if it's a public school, they still don't have public transportation for free and food for free. So even though they can go to school for free, they can't afford to actually even get there.
Mm.
We have one youth, his name is Tong, and he dropped out, I think, at fourth grade. And he's very, you know, like he'll only be able to call Kim instead of texting him, because he can barely spell anything.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard on us to see, you know, he's now 19 and calls him Papa Kim because he really looks up to him as a father, you know, and it's our heart to see these people even be able to get out of high school, even if they're, you know, over 19, over 20.
And are you actually seeing a difference? I know you haven't been there for many, many years, but our missionaries have been there for a while now, and you're joining up. Are you actually seeing a difference? Are you seeing hope come into these kids' lives? Are they coming to know the Lord? What's going on?
Yeah, we see, I mean, just in the last year that we've been connected with this church, we've seen a lot of the youth just growing in the Lord. You know, there's one girl, she's 21 now, and when I first walked in the door, she was so shy to any American. All she would do is bite her nails and pretend to hide, and now she's one of my best friends. She's just so in love with the Lord. She's so free, and it's because she's found who the real truth of Jesus is, just like Kim was saying.
Amazing. So, I mean, friends, this is real-life work. Kids that could be dead on the street from malnutrition, kids that could just be lost and caught up with drug culture or some sold into human trafficking. And we've got our folks on the ground in these places. As I talk to you on the air, our workers around the world, our grads, are making a difference, touching lives, bringing healing, bringing hope, bringing Jesus. And friends, you're part of that. You're part of this broadcast. You're part of what we're doing around the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this is a missions emphasis week. You say, I'm not really into missions. Well, I ask you, are you into Jesus? Because Jesus is into missions. And if you have his heart, you have a heart for lost and dying world. Look, he shed his blood for every human being on the planet. Now it's for us to go and tell the good news that forgiveness is available. So all this week, right through Thursday, we'll be talking with our fire grads who are serving around the world, part of our missionary family, some serving in the States, most serving overseas. We're about to go from Philippines to Tanzania. But before we go further with Tina and Kim Valnueva, if you want to find out about our missionaries, go to fire-international.org. We can't list every country. We're in some sensitive countries, some dangerous places. But most are listed, fire-international.org. And all of you who support us, all of you torchbearers, the first fruits of the money that we get, we pour back into our missionaries and then into this radio broadcast. All of you who sent us one-time gifts, first fruits we pour into our missionaries around the world and then into this radio broadcast. So Kim and Tina, let's talk to one of our callers, Kevin in Manhattan. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking the call, Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
I've listened to you for a while. I'm a torchbearer. I've looked at the website for your school and another school. Now, I after a very troubled time, going through a very long divorce, I wound up meeting a woman from the Philippines, and she invited me over to meet her family, and I did. And I was knocked over by the need, not just physical material things, but the need for the Word of God, and especially for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make sense out of whether what I'm feeling is an honest pull by God to serve,
right,
or if it's just my emotion. Now, I've been over there 6 times in the last 2 years, two and a half years, and each time I'm blown away by the things that I see. You know, the two missionaries that were just speaking, that sometimes you'll see along a filthy river, you will see a three-story shanty shacks that are built over the water, and now what's going on is the government is coming along clearing out some of these shanty shacks that go up, displacing the people.
It's true. As you're talking, Kim and Tina are nodding their heads. So public, Kevin, let me ask you a question, all right?
Go ahead.
Unless it's God's will that you make a lot of money in the States and give it away to help missions work in other parts of the world, why wouldn't God want to send you? Why wouldn't he want to? Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Every missionary we have in any part of the world is not only praying for more funds, but praying for more laborers, more people to throw themselves in. If you're a solid believer, follower of Jesus, why wouldn't he send you? And Tina, what would you say to that? I mean, you went over, again, as a single woman, thinking you were called to be a worship leader here in America. What would you say to Kevin?
Well, that's a lot of what actually got me there, I think, is actually spending time with some of these children that you're speaking about who are living on the streets. I mean, the first encounters I had with them was this little girl, probably 4 years old, just completely sleeping on the side of the road, and trying to wake her up to comfort her and give her food. And, you know, it was during those moments that it's just that simple. You know, if God is calling us to go and be a part of laboring in the Philippines or wherever the Lord is calling us, you know, it doesn't take big fireworks. It just takes a touch of who God is in you to give that away to these kids.
Mm.
Because they, just like Dr. Brown said, you know, there's many missionaries out in the world, but there's so much work to still be done.
And it, whatever the skill is, if the person is a builder, if they're a teacher, if they share the gospel well, if they can administrate, I mean, there are so many ways they can serve. And then one more thing, Tina, then I want to ask him a question. But coming to a place like Fire School of Ministry, how does that prepare you to get out on the field?
Well, like I said before, I actually almost thought about not staying at Fire because it was so focused on missions. And currently the Lord was working on my heart and I didn't even know it. But now that I'm in the field and, you know, I stuck through and I graduated Fire, and I'm so thankful that the Lord brought me to Fire, honestly. I have all these things, all these memories coming back, and of teachers reminding me of what I was going to go through, of, you know, getting God's grace when I'm facing tough situations, of dealing with culture and all these things. And I'm just amazed because I don't know that I could actually have handled it as well as I did if I didn't get the training that I have.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we ground you in the Word. We ground you in relationship with God, practical ministry, the things of the Spirit. But then especially with a missionary calling, great place to be. Hey, Kevin, take steps forward and see if the Lord does not open doors for you further. And Kim, we've just got 1 minute, literally, but you are in the Philippines serving as a missionary to your own people. Speak to Americans who may not be called somewhere else, but they're called to serve right here in America. Speak a word of encouragement and exhortation to my listeners.
Okay. To all of you guys that are listening right now, I mean, it's not too late. I mean, you can still do everything, anything for your own country. Like I've heard, I mean, there's a lot of homeless people, homeless kids, and hungry kids out there, especially living downtown. I actually have seen a couple of some homeless people that are, as we travel on the way here from Florida. Mm. And I mean, but I've seen a lot of Christian church too. But I mean, I don't know, and I'm not kind of biased, but I don't know who are the people who's reaching these people, you know? I mean, there's a chance of us, each, everyone. I mean, we can make a difference even in our own country, even in our own place.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing. Thanks, Kim. If you see a need, instead of going back to your church and saying, what are you doing about this? Saying, Lord, how can I be used? And take little steps. It doesn't have to be some big, glorious thing. Every little step helps. Hey, Tina, Kim, so proud of you. And again, glad to have you as part of our Fire family.
Thank you.
Kim.
Thank you.
And friends, I want to strongly encourage you to get hold of the CD. I just played a short clip from it, the music CD, Live Songs from Fire School of Ministry, songs that will stir your heart and move you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978 for your gift of any size. It's my thank you to you, 1-800-278-9978. And because I so want to raise further support for the work we're doing and help our missionaries more, if you'd prefer, for your gift of any size, I'll send you free my 2-hour DVD debate with Professor Bart Ehrman, Does the Bible Provide an Adequate Answer to the Problem of Suffering? So just call 1-800-278-9978, your gift of any size, and request the music CD or request the debate with Dr. Ehrman, and we'll send it out joyfully. Or thank you. Stand with us. 1-800-278-9978. And hey, right now, where you live, God wants to use you to make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when I'm on the road, a lot of folks will meet me. Some will say, boy, you're that old. My hair is gray and my mustache is gray. And I said, you never went to the website? Never? All these years, never went to the website to see what I looked? No, we didn't know you're that tall, that big. But they'll often say, I can hear the smile in your voice. I can hear you smiling as you talk. Well, I've been smiling all the more broadly this week because I'm joined by some of our frontline heroes, our fire missionaries, grads from our ministry school who are serving God around the world and making a difference. And this radio broadcast is the hub of this worldwide movement. So thanks for joining us. I'm going to take select questions. I have not been giving out the phone number much. In fact, in 4 hours of broadcasting so far this week, I've taken a total of 2 calls because I want to jealously give all the time to our missionaries. And if you have a call that's relevant to what we're talking about, to missions, if you want to know about the specific country, or it's something especially relevant for our guest that's on, we will take some calls, 866-348-7884. My guest now is a dear woman, dear sister, who is a real pioneer going for it, Alice Limpert, serving in Tanzania in Africa. Alice, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right, Alice, how old were you when you came to ministry school?
I was about to turn 48.
And you were just coming to school then?
Just coming to Bible school.
All right, and what year was that?
1998.
So she was down in our school when it was in Pensacola in the midst of a great revival outpouring that was taking place. And hang on, I know with Alice, you can project your voice. So actually, I had the settings for a little bit different voice. Okay, here we are. So Alice, what was your background before that? You're a missionary in Tanzania now. What was your professional background before coming to ministry school?
I had been a professional hairdresser for probably at that point about 31 and a half, 32 years.
All right. And you used to cut my hair?
Yes.
In Pensacola. Okay.
I'd pull a chair out of the trunk of my car with my spray bottle and scissors.
All right. Okay. So you come to ministry school. Did you plan on going to Africa at that point?
No, not at all. In fact, in my conversations with God, I certainly said, Lord, send me and I'll go wherever you want. But I'm certain that you won't send me to India or to Africa because I've met other missionaries from there and they seem to really, you know, like the whole sleeping on the ground, camping, hiking, you know, really out in the bush type thing. And that's not who I am. And so I really thought that God would certainly not put me someplace where I couldn't survive. So.
All right. So, and he sends you to Africa. All right. Tanzania. How long have you been in Africa now?
I'm in my 10th year.
In your 10th year. Okay. So that would mean I'm 57. I feel like a kid on the inside, but I'm 57. So that would mean, without divulging secrets, you're older than me.
Yes.
All right. Well, you're shaking your head like you don't care. So
I don't care.
How old are you, Alice?
I just turned 63.
All right. When we come back, I want to start to sketch out some of the work you're doing, what you're involved in. But I want you to talk to older men and women, because demographically, probably radio listeners as opposed to those listening online or of the older generation. So I want you to give a word of exhortation. But the most recent thing you did was adopt?
Yes. I for 4 years now, I've gone through the process of adoption, which took about 3.5 years. And I have a 16-year-old Tanzanian daughter, which was not also my plan. It just happened.
All right,
because God.
Amazing. Alice is doing it. She's on the front lines doing it. It's not easy, but she's not backing down. She's going forward. Hey, friend, what's your excuse, huh?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast with my guest, Alice Limpert. She is a grad from our ministry school back in 1998. She's now in her 10th year serving as a fire missionary in Tanzania. Again, we talk about Jesus' revolution when we talk about making a difference. Friends, it's not empty words here. It's not empty words. It's not just a matter of having some nice ideas. We're talking about people making a difference in many nations around the world, all of whom sat under the teaching and ministry in the school of which I have the privilege of being the president. And they've gone out and they're making a difference. And some have been on the field now 10, 11, 12, 13 years. I mean, as soon as they graduated, they've been out there. Our school was formed in 1997. And they're reaching people with the gospel. People say, well, you know, why are you talking about social issues, Mike? You should just focus on the gospel. We're doing gospel work day and night. And I don't separate social issues from gospel work, but our focus day and night is reaching people with the gospel and telling them about Jesus and seeing their lives changed. And we're doing it around the world. If you have a question for Alice or me, 866-348-7884. All right, Alice, you went from a hairdresser in America and just thinking, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it in a country like India or Africa. And I understand that. I've traveled a lot and some places are tougher to live. Paint a picture of where you live in Tanzania for our listeners around the world, but especially in America.
Well, one of the things when I got there, it took almost 5 weeks for me to realize that I couldn't pick up the phone and call my friends. I couldn't just get in my car and run to see family. So that was a big challenge for me. And I had young nieces and nephews, and I had my mom and my dad at that time. And so just realizing that all of a sudden, I'm not only just a single woman living in America, now I'm a single woman my age, living in a foreign land, in a strange land, learning the culture, learning the language. I had to hire a tutor for nearly 2 years after I finished 4 months of language school. I mean, it was a challenge.
Yeah, learning a new language. And by the way, our engineer today wants you to know you have a very youthful voice for being 63. and Andrew, trust me, she's got a more youthful spirit than voice. I sound like I'm 56. Come on, man. Come on, buddy. We're trying to have a powerful, edifying show, and you're messing with me here. All right. So seriously, though, learning a new language when you're older, learning a new language, period, is not easy for a lot of people. But learning it when you're older, what's the language you speak there?
It's Kiswahili.
Kiswahili. Can you say something to our listeners?
Ninaweza kuongea na Kiswahili. Kamanina Hitaji.
Which is?
I'm able to speak Swahili when I need to.
Ah, all right. So, and that's the other frustrating thing. When you can't communicate properly, found out that our missionary, one of our missionaries in Mexico, Andy, said that he was telling the people they should love their pastor or embrace him and told them you should hate your pastor. So that can be challenging. Then you don't want to talk at all. What about just getting things done, you know, like the bureaucracy or paperwork or, you know, how does that work there in Tanzania?
Well, for me, it was a major challenge. I've been in business my whole life, and I've not really depended on other people to assist me. But the overall thing that I found out after all these years is that in Tanzania, especially in northern Tanzania where I am, a mediator is necessary. Someone who can actually go to the issue for you.
Really?
And so the Lord gave me a young man who was 18 at the time. He's about to turn 29 in November. He has been with me, working with me. He's like a son. But he has parents. I know his whole family. I know his brothers, sisters. He assists me in everything. When I had a car accident, he went to court with me. He was at the police station 19 times with me. He was at the insurance company 15 times. Just takes all day just to live and breathe in Africa, much less get anything else done.
All right. And you're part of a team there.
Yes.
Before we talk about specifically what you're doing, tell us about what we've got. We've got actually two other gals there, who, one of whom is married to a Tanzanian and the other is married to a Brit. Mm. So they're all serving there. Tell me about the larger work that the team is doing, and then I want to talk about the ministries you're involved with directly.
It's huge. God has just done amazing things. One of the things that I think that we didn't realize when we first got there is that God gives vision even to women.
Mm.
It's not only men with high D personalities that God gives vision to. He gives vision to women. And so the three of us, after our team leader left the country with his wife for further education and went on by the Lord's leading to other things, that God was speaking to us about doing very specific things. And so both Mary and Jill are very involved in doing all of the things children related, Hope House, church planting, many, many different things that God has spoken to our hearts. He's enabled us to complete. He's brought people alongside us, interns who come, teams who come from America to help us, assisting with a building project or whatever, allowing us to raise the funds for these huge projects going on.
And you're over there now. You've got these various obstacles. And you told me during the break it's fine to talk about this. We've noticed it in recent months or years that you're walking with a limp. So you're 63 years old. Mm-hmm. You're a single woman. Mm-hmm. You're in Africa, mm-hmm. and you weren't the most likely candidate. I imagine that when you're doing your hairdressing business, you didn't do a lot of camping out.
No,
that kind of thing. Okay, now you've got an issue with your knees where you either need knee replacement surgery or a healing miracle. You've got no cartilage.
That's right.
And bone spurs, is it painful?
Yes, very painful.
All right, but you're still there.
Yes, I am.
And you're not letting up.
No.
All right. I want to talk about what you're doing. But first, I want you to talk to listeners who are maybe 40 or 50 or 60 or even 70 and who have years ahead of them, either in America or in another field, and maybe they got some health issues. I'm not unsympathetic to that. We know these can be debilitating and really hold you back, and pain sometimes can be crippling. But you're out there on the front lines. Talk to my listeners, Alice.
Well, I wouldn't still be in Africa if it weren't for the grace of God. I've recognized that over the course of all of these years and all of the different things that I have done up to date, it is because of His grace. And I have the grace to live in Africa, no matter how challenging it is. God gives me the grace, moment by moment, to deal with whatever it is that I'm dealing with. For myself personally, I feel like I'm about 40 or 45 in age. I'm very young at heart,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of energy. And the idea of not having my knees function the way God designed them to function is a little disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Because I know that God can fix that. God could do that. And I'm just asking Him, what is His plan for that? I've learned to submit absolutely every decision I make, every thing that comes into my life, every struggle that I have. Lord, what is it in this particular thing that's you want me to learn or you want me to get through to get to that higher level of glory? That's where I'm going. Because I'm not going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going back to where I came from. I'm going to where God has me going from glory to glory. But it's challenging. For 9 years, I've driven a Prado Land Cruiser. And over the last year, jumping in and out of that thing was becoming brutal on my knees. So I asked God for a new car. And the reality is, I didn't even know where to go in Africa. I bought my original car from another missionary that was leaving the country. So I've had it for 9 years. Never had to do anything except give money. So this car, I said, Lord, please drive a car up my driveway. And 2 days later, up comes a little RAV4. There I am. I'm able to sit down, get in, get out without the same level of pain, without the jarring. You know, I don't care where we are on planet Earth. As we get older, our bodies begin to deteriorate some. This is the flesh part.
Mm-hmm.
But the temple, we have to keep the temple strong. So, you know, eating right, drinking enough water, getting enough rest, doing all of those things that we need to do to maintain our temples so that we can labor for the Lord. That's what I'm focusing on now. Sometimes last year, I actually had to walk with a cane for part of the time because it was so painful. This year, I mean, in recent months, I've lost 65 pounds.
Wow.
And so it's a little easier for me to walk
now.
Good
for you.
And I'm building my body as the temple part of my body with a core strength that's allowing me to continue on. I walk in a with a little bit of a gait now, but
you walk.
I walk.
You're walking, and you carried a flag in
exactly
in our mission service
exactly
on Sunday. And you know, Alice, what I hear you saying, and what I want my listeners to take away is, God only has weak human vessels to use, and if we will determine, obviously, do what we can to be in the best shape we can, and so on. But if we'll determine to make ourselves available and rely on the grace of God. If he can use 63-year-old Alice Limpert in Tanzania, he can use Joe and Sam and Sally and these other folks.
That's right.
15, 20, 50, 80. He can use you where you are to make a difference. Make yourselves available. Okay, we're going to come back and focus on some of the amazing things the Lord is allowing Alice to do in Tanzania. And pray for her for healing and grace.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the next hour, which I encourage you to listen to, catch it online later today at Ask Dr. Brown. Click on the Line of Fire. Next hour, you're going to hear from a family doing amazing things in the States and traveling out. And then from a Dutch sister, again trained in our ministry school, who is one of our heroes in China. Friends, these are all grads. These are all part of our Fire family. This is who we are. This is what we do. 866-348-7884. Okay, Alice, back to Tanzania. Tell me about the things God's spoken to you. I mean, big vision, challenging. He's always spoken it before funds were available. Give us a picture of what you're actually doing now in Tanzania.
Well, things have changed for me a little bit. For a little over 5 years, I was very involved with the birthing and development of Moyomoja Women's Center, which was helping four categories of women in Africa, the widows and the putaways, divorcees, single moms, and girls 18 and older. And we trained up for 5 years these amazing young women who had no other source of help. Got some of them connected in with secondary education, others that got job placement. And this January, we actually officially closed that ministry. God said, you did what you did well. Now it's time for something new.
Wow.
So
something new.
Something new.
At the age of 63 or 62 then.
Actually, last year, January 62. My daughter left for her spirit week. She goes into a private boarding school in Africa.
So this is your adopted daughter?
This is my adopted daughter.
Tanzanian daughter.
Yeah, my only child. And she was off at her spirit week Monday through Friday, and then registration for school was on Saturday. So that week I had dropped her at the school and found out from leaders that, you know, they go farming through the course of their school. So she didn't tell me I needed to buy her a hoe, so that she could do the planting of the corn seeds and all that at planting time. So I had to go buy her a hoe, and I could bring it to the school on Friday. So I was doing that. But on Thursday, I woke up in the morning, and the Lord just spoke to me very clearly and said, teach English. That's all he said. Well, while I was at BRSM.
That's our ministry school that was then in Pensacola, is now Fire School of Ministry here in Concord.
I took the college course on TESOL, teaching English as a second language, and have my certificate, but I've not really used it in the time that I was there, other than for some church small lessons and things like that. So teach English. I deliver the hoe. I'm having a conversation with the headmistress of the school. I'm asking, like, are there any teaching positions open? And she said, I don't know. We'll have to find out. I get a phone call on Monday morning inviting me to come to their opening session for the school. So I go there, and the leader of the school, Pastor Gloria Sho, is introducing now all of the faculty and staff. And he said, our new English teacher for Form 1 and Form 2 in the secondary school is Madam Alice Limpert.
Oh, my.
And I knew it was God. I had the most joy and peace, I think, than I had felt in a long time. And my daughter looks at me from across the way. It had to have been at least 50 to 75 feet away. And she's looking at me like, you didn't tell me this. And I said, God spoke to me on Thursday, and today he's assigned me with
work. Had you communicated with the?
No.
All right, so God speaks to you, and, yes. and God shows them.
Yes.
You show up,
yes.
and next thing, you're faculty.
Yes.
And you had been trained for this
yes.
in Pensacola, Florida.
And my certificate is acceptable for my credential to teach.
Wow. That's the Lord, isn't it?
And this is secondary school in a private boarding school, Spirit-filled. I love that my daughter's going there. And I had a relationship with this man and his wife from 2002. I've known them. They've become my friends, but I was... At the time I adopted Glory, I was a PTA mom.
Uh-huh.
Is basically the part I filled.
Right.
Regarding the school. And it was because I was still very involved with the other ministry.
But now you're
but
faculty
now I am
member.
fully involved. And this year I am the spiritual counselor for the students of the secondary school.
Wow.
Besides being their English teacher for what would be equivalent in the United States of 7th and 8th grade English. I have 96 students total. No teacher's assistant. I don't have a desk. I get a chair when I go to the teacher's room, and I'm thankful to have that chair to sit down in.
It's Africa.
Yeah.
Well, God, Alice, you're a champion to us. Bless you. We're so thrilled to have you as part of the team. And you've had the same spirit, enthusiasm, fire, probably more so since you've been out on the field. Hey, we've got a minute. There's a question from Sylvia on Long Island. I don't have a chance to bring her on the air right now, but she's wondering, is there a rise in witchcraft activity in Tanzania? Is that something that you're aware of?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you look at the book of Revelations, you realize that at the end, the enemy is going to try everything he can. The word Sumbawanga is the highest form of witchcraft. And so when you see a movie that says Sumbawanga, you must know that it comes from witchcraft.
Really?
I'm making reference to something particular that's out there now in the world, that people are saying there's nothing wrong with it.
Wow. Okay. Oh, no, you just sang Harry Potter off
yeah.
the air. That's fine. Yeah.
Sumbawanga
let know about it.
Is, we have a place that's called Sumbawanga in southwestern Tanzania. And Sumbawanga in Swahili means put your witchcraft down because ours is the strongest.
And it is rising in
it
Tanzania.
It is rising. And actually, just recently, the Lord showed me a picture where it's going to get worse and worse with the witchcraft. But the power of God is greater
yes.
than the created power that the enemy tries to
yes,
assume that he has.
Yes, it
he
is.
He has no power.
And in fact, some of these witches get radically saved.
Oh, radically
they?
Saved. Radically saved. They scare people. It's really a fear tactic is what it is.
Mm.
You can scare someone to death. But when you know the Lord and when you are sure of the power of God and your relationship with God is secure and you know there is no power greater on earth. I mean, we write songs
it.
About it. There is no power.
But you're living it out.
But I'm living it out. And God is showing us daily.
Real demonic power. Then
Absolutely.
You have Islam in Tanzania as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And the gospel is advancing.
Advancing. And we're seeing so many people come. We're seeing Muslims come. We're seeing witch doctors come. We're seeing people who have been just kind of nominal Muslims come. They're not even really celebrating any religion at all. We're fighting religion.
Yeah, so dead religion and dead Christian religion can be a greater obstacle than Islam or witchcraft. Hey, Alice, keep going. You've earned a lot more
Thank
fans,
you.
Admirers, supporters, friends. To find out about what all our missionaries are doing, go to fire-international.org. Friends, again, Torchbearers, thank you, all of our monthly supporters. Thank you for those who support with one-time gifts. You're helping us not only stay on the air, but train, equip, raise up the next generation of fire missionaries to go out and serve along with our missionary pioneers on the field. And you're helping us support those on the field. I want to encourage every one of you listening to call right now. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-278-9978. I want to send you a CD with live songs from Fire School of Ministry that will stir you and call you deeper in God. Your gift of any size, it's my thank you gift to you, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or if you are more into teaching, well, let me send you as my thank you gift, my two-hour debate with Bart Ehrman on the problem of suffering. Your gift of any size to stand with us and help us advance this work, 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the music CD or the DVD. My bottom line today, you've heard from a 63-year-old woman with faulty knees serving God in Tanzania. What's your excuse? How come God can't use you? From the Philippines to China to Tanzania, join us on a journey with our fire missionaries today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a week this has been already. In our first 3 hours of broadcasting this week, we have been joined by Choice Fire Missionaries, grads from our ministry school that are out making a difference all over the world and here in the United States. We've gone from Morocco to Iraq to the Philippines to Tanzania. We're going to go to China a little later in the show today. If you missed any of the broadcasts on this Missions Emphasis week, go to askdrbrown.org and click on The Line of Fire. You don't want to miss a minute of this. Send links to your friends. Just click like on Facebook or tweet links to your friends so that they can listen, tune in as well, and catch all the broadcasts. What we do here on the air is just the voice, the hub, the expression of a worldwide gospel movement. We are burning to see America shaken and awakened with the gospel, with true revival and Jesus revolution, where Jesus changes us and we go and change our world. We are burning to see Israel saved. We are burning to see the nations touched with the gospel. And through our ministry school and through our grads, we are able to see fruit being born. As I speak right now, our grads are bearing fruit around the world and right here in America as well, making a difference. I've only taken two or three calls in the first 2 days so far, but if you have a call that's relevant, we will take questions. 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. My guest now, doing something very different, very important, very real, very wonderful, that'll speak to many of you here in America, Neil Gibson. Neil, when did you come to our ministry school in Pensacola?
In January of 1997, we were there till 99.
All right, so you were part of our pioneer class.
I'm sorry, I was there in August of 1997.
You said it. I thought I didn't remember you were part of our pioneer class, but so just you were in our second class.
Yes, sir.
All right, so August of 1997, and you met Carissa there.
Yes, my wife. We met actually on a worship team. We met earlier, but we kind of got to know each other better on a worship team during our second year of school.
All right. And how many kids do you have now?
Well, we have eight. The next one is our eighth that's going to be born just after Thanksgiving of this year.
Okay. So you've got a wonderful growing family.
Yes.
How old is your oldest?
17.
17 down to in the womb.
Yes, and he's starting to apply to Fire, actually.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll check him out carefully. Yeah, I remember him from just being a real little guy. Okay, you come to the ministry school. You know there's a calling on your life. So many go overseas. Mm-hmm. You weren't called to go overseas, at least not at this stage, not full time anyway. You took a big step and helped serve when we had a branch of our school in New York City. For some years, that was a step of faith. But give me a picture right now. Just take a minute, and then I want to get into this further.
All right.
Of what you do, is it something that, Neil, you are doing? Is it something that the Gibson family is called to do?
Well, it's of course all of us, anything we're involved in. You know, even when my wife and kids are in a support role, they bear an important role. But we love to do things together as well. We definitely wanted to go to the mission field, actually. When we first graduated, we had every intention of going to China and made every preparation necessary. We were in the fundraising process, and the Lord really actually told us, you're doing this in your time and your way. You need to basically be prepared longer, which was a really hard thing to hear. But the Lord wanted to take us through some things, learn His ways better, I believe. And He's got us now in the mountains of North Carolina, trying to take a walk of faith step by step. We've got a school building that went up for auction that we're renovating now. We have a church that meets there.
And then you're involved in pro-life work. You're involved in kind of ministry to other folks that come there. And then some overseas work as well. We come back.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about a big family living here in America making a difference. What about you? Think there's more that God could do through you?
Fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, the longer you listen to the broadcast this week, as for four straight days, we'll be talking to our missionaries from around the world. You know, you won't be able to exclude yourself. Well, I got a big family. What can I do? Well, we got missionaries with big families here in America and overseas. Well, I'm just a single woman. We got plenty of single women out there. Well, we got old. Well, I mean, we got young. Hey, all God's looking for is available people who give themselves unconditionally to Him. And He'll find a place for you. He'll find a spot for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Neil, here you are in the States. Contrary to some of our other missionaries who wanted to be in the States and God said, you're going overseas. And when they went, their hearts were broken and they felt that calling. Right now, God has you in the States. You're living in the mountains in North Carolina. It's a good drive. And we go every year and have our retreat, we call it immersion. Mm-hmm. Our incoming students and returning students, we go up to your facilities there for several days of intensive prayer and teaching of the word and ministry one to another. It's a drive. My mm-hmm. cell phone normally starts working as I get there. So you're not living in the big city.
No.
Right now. You were in New York City and then God calls you out of the big city into the nowheresville. Mm-hmm. And right there though, you're making a difference. Tell me about what God laid on your heart, your family, to do in terms of the issue of abortion.
Okay, we've always been pro-life, of course, and the Lord really gave us a heart for the understanding of how children really are a blessing from the Lord, right before we got married, actually. And then over the years, there's been several things. On a fast one time, just got broken out of nowhere with this, God, have mercy on our nation for the innocent bloodshed. And I wasn't even like in that stream, but God just gripped me. And we've had different interaction with, the call with Lou Engle and Bound for Life, those different movements over the years. But this past spring, my wife had just been through some health issues. And coming out of that, we really had on our heart to put crosses out in our field. Now, we have an old school building, so the field is a very large field.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our area is not very populated, but we've got the largest employer west of Charlotte right next door. And to us, it's a factory. And we started putting out these crosses. We wanted to put out one for every child that's aborted every day. Our goal was to put out 3,700 crosses. It took us about...
All right, let me jump in.
Yes.
For what purpose? I'll play the devil's advocate here. What's it going to do? Who's going to see it? What kind of impact is it going to have?
Well, we wanted to do it just kind of as a point of awareness and sort of a provocation for prayer, not so much to be a controversial thing. In fact, we really wanted it to be something where people that had been through the trauma of abortion on whatever level could get some degree of healing, come pray and stuff. We don't know all the effects that it had on everybody, but that was part of our intention. In fact, the local newspaper actually ran a front page article on it.
Yeah, you sent me a link to that. That was amazing.
Yes, it was very favorable. The line was to heal, not condemn. And we were just wanting to get that awareness out there and to say, look, this is massive. This is not okay. And when you start driving those crosses into the ground and realizing we're not making them as fast as they're dying.
Wow.
It's just a staggering thing to see. And visually, it's immense.
So have you had any other fruit results, things that happened, opposition? What happened as a result of that effort?
Well, you know, we expected actually to have some degree of opposition, and we didn't actually get the opposition we expected. We actually ended up getting a lot more favor, like with that newspaper article and others. You know, there was a lot of awareness. We live in a place where everybody knows about everybody, it seems like. So we kind of go places and meet people we didn't even know, and they're like, oh, you guys are the ones that did the crosses out there. We were so touched by that, or we drove by and saw that, and we had no idea. You know, our church just pulled together to pull that off, and it was a real labor of love. And I think even, honestly, if nobody else was affected, we were very affected.
Mm.
And we already had a heart for it, but it was just, you know, and again, it's something that all the kids can get involved in. We've got pictures of them painting the crosses and helping put them in the ground and toting them around and everything.
Is there anywhere where there are pictures of the field with all the crosses that if someone wanted to look online, you know?
Yes, I know. Well, I know on my Facebook page there are, but I know.
Well, we'll tell you what. Send me links.
I will.
And then I'll put them on the Line of Fire site. Ask Dr. Brown. Click on the Line of Fire. We'll have those up there later today or tomorrow. So you can just get a visual of this. But you're involved in a lot of practical ministry work. And some of it has to do with bringing healing and restoration to people that need refreshing. And are you running into a lot of wounded warriors out there?
Well, I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, sometimes we're some of them. I mean, everybody gets wounded throughout life. And part of what we strive to provide there is a place in this building. We're renovating rooms even for like apartments and things for missionaries that are coming through from the field to get some time to just be refreshed as a family, get some time to pray together, go for hikes, have some time where there's not so much pressure on them, especially those that are in restricted nations or things like that. But in any of them, even when they're in the States, they typically have a very, fast-paced schedule.
And what happens to the folks when they're with you?
You know, honestly, one of the things that's happened a lot is God has used their time with us or just at our place as a real transitional point. A lot of people have heard from the Lord there in various ways. We had one lady that's been in the Philippines more recently. She came a year or two ago. She came, said, "I'm going to be here for 3 days." She prayed out there, and we saw her a few hours later, and she said, "I'm going to go home now. I already got my answer." And it's like, okay, great. Sometimes people don't get their answers from the Lord while they're there, but we really feel like it's not even, it is a special place, but there's just that principle. If you draw near to God, He draws near to you. And people come out there as a group or individuals and just set time apart to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes we're able to spend time with them. Sometimes they're just in a closet somewhere or whatever, but God is faithful. I mean, he sends what we need when we seek Him.
And You're planning a trip in March to Vietnam. We can't give lots of details in terms of exactly who you're working with. So while you're in the States, you're ministering with your whole family. You've made a statement for pro-life. Mm-hmm. You're ministering to ministers and leaders and others, families that come and need times of refreshing. What's going to be happening in Vietnam, Neil?
Well, it's really like the kind of stuff that I would always love to be doing. And in some ways, I do it on a limited basis at our church. But I just being able to impact people that are going to impact other people. I love serving the underground church. If there's any opportunity to do that the Lord allows me to go do. And even this trip specifically, we'll be able to just give some basic instruction even to local leaders and stuff. We've got some favor with a key leader there in Vietnam, and we're just really thrilled to have this opportunity. I went last year. And it's just very powerful. They have these 3 days of fasting and prayer. 200 or 300 believers come together, and it's just a very stirring time. And I believe the Lord gave me some things to share with them. And it felt like very significant impact to me.
Mm.
And I've been on a number of different mission trips. I'm not the kind that thinks short-term missions are the only way to go by any means. But some of these trips have been the ones that felt the most impactful, because if you're reaching people that are able to then multiply out the effectiveness of what you share or how you serve them, it feels like that ripples out much further.
Yesterday, in the last half hour of the broadcast, I had Fabian, who is one of our missionaries, has been to quite a number of nations, now moving with his family to Kurdistan and to northern Iraq with several families to serve there, a couple of families and some single women. And, of course, Muslim world, different challenges there. But he was in Vietnam. And I asked him about the level of dedication of the Christians there. Now, I'm sure you have nominal Christianity here and there, or people who are lukewarm. But what did you find in your time in Vietnam as far as the mindset, the dedication of the Vietnamese Christians?
It was deep. I mean, I'm sure there might be nominal Christians there somewhere, but the ones that I saw were very fervent for the Lord. You know, this man that I mentioned had lots of people that he kept saying, "My assistant, my assistant, my assistant." I said, "How many assistants do you have?" And he's like, "Well, 30-some assistants, and, you know, most of them are full-time, but only 3 or 4 of them are paid full-time."
Mm.
They're all just serving the Lord with all that they have. He came to our church here in the States recently, which is a privilege he hadn't had, and saw a Voice of the Martyrs banner in our hall and said, "Oh, I love Voice of the Martyrs. They rescued me from prison."
Really? So have a lot of them been in prison?
I don't know statistically, but I know that this man that we're connected with, you know, he was in prison for about 2 years total for the gospel.
Mm.
He's a sweet brother.
One of my friends that worked in Vietnam had told me that the folks he worked with, before you could be ordained on the most basic level of a Christian worker, you had to have led X number of people to the Lord and then planted a church. And then the next level, more churches planted, so on. But when you got to the final level, you also had to have been in prison for a certain number of months or years, wow, plus planted churches, won people to the Lord. And that was just way of life there. So, Neil, it's awesome you're going over there and extending the work of the gospel and serving those who are on the front lines. When we come back, I just want to talk a little bit about family. I mean, here you are, burning heart for ministry, traveling, doing lots of different things. Are our kids a burden? Is this a hindrance? What's wrong with the American attitude these days towards kids, family? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Sure.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we have a lot of our missionaries on the field who have a bunch of kids, and God has supplied for those kids, and now they're being raised in the foreign field. Most are being homeschooled, but they're being raised to be multilingual, multicultural. And when you talk to them as they're getting older, they love it. It's been a great experience for them. And we've got our folks that are single out serving. We got the whole range. And here in the States, one of our grad families, one of our fire grad families, making a difference, Neil and Carissa Gibson. Neil's here in the studio with me. And before we go to China in our next segment, I want to talk practically with Neil about some attitudes we have in America towards kids. All right, Neil, it's one thing to have the plague of abortion, mm-hmm, the horror of hardness of heart that can just dismiss a child as something unwanted, you know. And again, I so appreciate your heart is to minister to women who've had abortions and to come with healing, not condemnation for them. But do you think there's a deeper attitude we have here in America about kids, about larger families? And I'm not condemning someone that maybe is 30 years old and single, hasn't married, or,
right,
you know, let each one run their race and find their path. And yeah, there's no pressure to have big families. But first thing you see when you see the Gibsons, every year I see, it's like, whoa,
there's another one. Yeah.
more kids, or Carissa's pregnant again. Is this a burden to you? Is this a weight, a drag?
Obviously, having a lot of children is a big responsibility, you know. But I see it as an investment. You know, it bears long-term fruit. And if you look at it in that way, you know, in the short term, it might be like, man, I have to pay so much in diapers, or we have to buy clothes, or this, that, and the other. But the long-term fruit, you know, Psalm 127 talks about, you know, the arrows in the hand of a warrior, you know, like that are the children of one's youth, and they'll speak with their enemies in the gate. They'll contend there. You know, we're basically creating the next generation. Obviously, we want to do that through discipleship as well, and, you know, winning the lost. That of course we're assuming, but I believe it's part of God's mandate that's part of His purpose for marriage, is we're going to have godly offspring so that we can then bring into the next generation the things that the Lord is speaking. And, you know, I've learned a lot from my kids. God's broken a lot of stuff selfishly off of my own heart through my kids, and I think that's part of His plan. You know, I think, what if I'd have, you know, just been single and gone to China 10 years ago, and would I have actually been any use to the people? I mean, I know I would have brought something real, but I think that there might have been some things that the Lord wanted to break off my heart so that I'd actually be able to give people something substantial, because I've experienced life like they do. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd like you to just speak to fathers for a moment. It's a missions emphasis week, but hey, our first mission is right in the home.
Absolutely.
Where we live, not even in our neighborhood, in the home. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks busy. You got soccer moms, you got men working extra jobs, trying to make it to a church service or a Bible study during the week. Again, my goal is not to throw condemnation, mm-hmm, on people, but to challenge them. Do you have, aside from your own salvation and your wife. Do you have any more sacred entrustment from the Lord than your kids, Neil?
I wouldn't say there's any way I could. Yeah. Their importance to me is huge. And, you know, obviously there's continuing spiritual components to that, where I want to be developing them as people of prayer and reading the scriptures to them and stuff. But also just like my role as a father, I feel like it's so important to just show them love, you know, be with them, and the effect that that has on the heart. You know, we don't even see all the ramifications of fatherlessness in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, we, in the ministry, sometimes people can think, well, ministry and the work of the Lord is so important that we can neglect something that's a greater sacred charge that we have, that God's put right in our lap. I mean, he doesn't have to tell us, love your wife, take care of your kids. We don't have to have a word from heaven spoken in reverb to know we're supposed to do that. It's part of who he's given to us, and we bear a responsibility for them before the Lord.
And when you mention the busyness of ministry and mm-hmm. the calling, perhaps there's a pastor listening right now, mm-hmm. ministry leader, and boy, the demands are out there. And these are warriors. They're going 70, 80 hours a week and helping with this and helping with that, but neglecting their own kids, neglecting their own family. Certainly that's not God's heart, is it, Neil?
No. I mean, it breaks my heart. And, you know, that's a decision we all have to make on an ongoing basis. There's always going to be something. Sometimes, you know, the exception is okay. You know, I'm sorry, guys, I need to go do this right now. But when the exception becomes the rule and everybody else's needs come first, I can't help but think that the long-term effect on the children of those families is going to be, yeah, but Dad never had time for us. He always had time for everybody else. And I don't think it communicates the heart of our Father in heaven the way that it ought to.
Yeah, I'm listening and reminding that the great challenge for me, Neil, when I was traveling, I didn't travel a lot when our kids were real little. When I started traveling, Nancy was always totally fine with me being away.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were fine. I've talked to them now that they're in their 30s, 35, and going on 34. Did you ever feel neglected? Did you ever feel you didn't mm-hmm. have a dad? They have categorically said no, never. I've pressed them on mm-hmm. what was negative about me, and they've got selective memories and
yeah.
just remember the positive.
That's
but
good.
My challenge, when they started to recognize it as they got older, my challenge was not being away, but when I was home,
mm-hmm.
to be there.
Yes.
To be fully there. There's a clip I hear sometimes during the breaks that mm-hmm. that's somebody's ministry minute where they talk about, wherever, I think Jim Elliot said it, wherever you are, be fully there.
Mm-hmm.
And as the girls got older, one of them kind of picked up, they're teenagers, on what Nancy had said to me. I'd come back from a trip, and I'm, you know, I kind of, those are the days before traveling with computers. So I'm home. I want to write. I want to work on this. I want to do this. Got a stack of things to catch up mm-hmm. on. Sitting at the dinner table. And one of them said, Dad, you're here, but you're not here.
Yeah.
I was already in my study. I was already working on the next thing. And that can be a great challenge. We can be physically mm-hmm. present, but not really giving our hearts.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's probably even more common today than ever, because, like, my cell phone's in my pocket, this, that, and the other. And, I mean, it's not common just to me, but to our culture. You know, we have every way that we could be distracted at every given moment, and our kids do need us to just look them in the eyes and say, man, I really love you, and why don't we go, you know, throw a Frisbee or whatever, you know, whatever you do with your kids. Let's read something together, you know. They are so precious and important, and the impact of just being a present father, I think, you know, we're not going to see it in 5 minutes or 5 years, but we look at the long-term fruit
yeah.
of a change like that. I think it's going to be massive. And I think, I really believe that God is, and I may just be in certain circles that I see this, but I believe God is actually turning the hearts of fathers to children. And I think there's a lot of people that are really saying, you know, I really start seeing children to be a blessing. And it seems to me that there's like almost a countercultural
yeah.
movement in the church of people just being like, you know, we really see this as valuable.
Let it be. Let it be.
Yeah.
Friends, we've got a missions emphasis week. And I feel like these words with Neil were especially ordained by God. And to the moms listening saying, I need my husband to be like that. Pray and let him know that the greatest value, the greatest calling, the highest ministry he could do is right there in the home. He's faithful there. God will open up further doors. Friends, go to fire-international.org to find out what our missionaries are doing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are continuing in our Missions Emphasis Week here on The Line of Fire, which is not just a radio broadcast, but is the voice of a worldwide movement. I have the privilege of coming on the air 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. Many of you get an hour. Some of you get a half hour. If you listen online, you can listen to two whole hours. But here we are, not just to do a radio broadcast, but as an expression of a worldwide gospel movement. Through our ministry school, and totally by God's grace and help, we have raised up and sent out laborers around the world. We have had our folks running from communist police. We have had our folks persecuted by Muslim radicals, one even killed by Muslim radicals this year. They're on the front lines. They're bearing much fruit in America and in the nations. And I want you to be challenged and encouraged. I really thought long and hard about this week. I've wanted to do it for some time. We were finally able to put it together during our 13th annual missions conference here at Fire Church and Fire School of Ministry. So sit back, enjoy the broadcast. If you have a specific question for my guest, we will be able to take some calls, but so far in 2 days, I've taken a total of two or three calls because our whole focus is interviewing our workers on the field. But if you'd like to ask a question, 866-348-7884, I am going to refer to my next guest by a pseudonym, not by her actual name, and I can't give details about the city where she works, but I will say the country she's in is China. So, Mercy, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Mercy, you are from the Netherlands. When did you come to our ministry school?
I started ministry school in 2002.
2002. Okay. And you came over from the Netherlands as a single woman.
Yes.
Did you feel a calling to go on the mission field?
Actually, previous I did not, but the Lord directed my steps and started to call me. And in the end, yes, I felt called for us to go to a Bible school.
All right. So the first step, you felt a calling to minister as a single woman. And we've had married men on. Some of the husbands have been on, we've had couples on, and we've had some single women. We had one on earlier today from Tanzania, Africa. So you come over as a single woman. May I say that you're past 30 years old?
you can tell the people how old I am.
Well, tell me. It's not a problem. Tell me.
Right now I'm 56.
56. So you're just a year behind me. So when you came to the ministry school, you were late 40s then.
I was actually 44, I think.
44. Okay, yes. Got it. Mm-hmm. So the first step, you felt a calling. The first step, you came to the ministry school. And is that when you got the burden to become a missionary?
No, actually not. I was called. I didn't know what to do. And the Lord directed me to go to an English-speaking country. And I didn't know what to choose. But some people in my home church had children, and they brought me a brochure about fire. And it sounded really, and when I read the booklet, it was really interesting, so I applied.
Okay. So how long now have you been in China?
7 years now.
7 years, wow. And have you had some adventures there?
Many.
Many adventures. All right, friends, we come back. I want to talk to Mercy from the Netherlands, who felt a calling, felt to go to an English-speaking country, came over to America, came to our ministry school, trained and equipped there, and has now been serving in China for 7 years. This woman is a pioneer. This woman has been a hero to us as we've had to pray at times, get word, okay, we've got to pray because there are issues with the Chinese police, the communists, who are not exactly pro-gospel there in China. So we'll come back with adventures with Mercy from the Netherlands, serving in China, when we return.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast as we are having a special missions focus. You say, I don't really care about missions. You don't care about the heart of God? You don't care about the Great Commission? You don't care about touching people who've never heard the gospel? You don't care about helping people who are hurting? Hey, if you love Jesus, surely you must love missions. Michael Brown, delighted to have this chance to encourage you and to challenge you and to say, hey, God can use you wherever you are, wherever you live, whatever your background. He can use you if you make yourself available and take advantage of the opportunities he gives you, however small. 866-348-7884 to listen to any of the broadcasts you've missed from yesterday or today, ask drbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. My guest, whose actual name I cannot give you, and the city and places in which she works in China, I cannot give you. So we have decided to call her Mercy. Great, great nickname, and it's a woman's name. And she is serving in China. She is now 56 years old, single woman, making an impact for the Lord. During the break, I was saying, hey, with all the guests I have on, all these missionaries, people are running out of excuses as to why God can't use them. But Mercy, how in the world did you then actually get the calling to go to a difficult place like China, very different culture, very different language? How did you get the calling to go there?
I was at fire school the second year, and there was a missions conference. And during the missions conference, I asked the Lord where to go to. And 3 days in a row, the Lord told me, can you give? And
In our missions conference, just as we did this last week, we raised funds for our missionaries on the field. So as you're asking the Lord where to go, he's challenging you just to give financially?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. So first, I didn't believe that this was the Lord, but 3 days, three times in a row, I believed. And so I gave my last bit I had. Mm. And I gave to several missionaries. Then I knew God would provide anyway, doesn't matter. And so I asked for the souls of the countries to which I gave.
Wow, interesting. So isn't that fascinating? If you didn't take those first steps, you might not have gotten the burden. Was one of those countries China?
Actually, in the evening, my roommate wanted to go to a prayer and receiving some prophetic words. And she asked me to write for her. And there were three young guys. And when they were finished praying for her, they turned towards me and told me, we have a word for you. Mm. And the first guy came and said, you are called for China. And the second one came and said, you are called for Africa. And the third one came and he said, there will be a young man traveling with you. And I was highly amazed because of the first two. Exactly was the country and the continent I gave the most to.
Really?
Yes.
So they didn't know that. They spoke that. It confirmed what God had laid on your heart. So you go to China. You've been there 7 years now.
Yes.
The country is, and if you can just get a little closer to the mic, that would be great. Thanks. You are soft-spoken, which is wonderful, but with a wonderful, vibrant smile. Mercy is a missionary who's out there on the front lines going for it in challenging places, and she's got this amazing smile on her face. In China, part of the country or much of the country is getting very developed, modernized. Would it look like a lot of Western cities in terms of buildings and modernization?
Yes. The old villages, they tear down and they build huge apartment buildings with nice gardens, and it's really nice developed.
And then what about poverty and people still living in villages and downtrodden? Is there a lot of that as well?
The rural area is not developed and it's still old. You see people walking, doing the farming in an old-fashioned way. Old houses. I work mainly in rural areas, and their houses are made from clay. The floors are from clay. They cook on fire.
Mm. And there are a lot of, China's a big country, 1.3 billion. So one out of every five people in the world is Chinese. What about rules like public gatherings? How oppressive are the police there? What's that like?
You cannot have gatherings with more than 12 people. Above 12 people, you need a permit.
Really?
Yes.
And what's the reason for that?
The reason is actually to control so that you cannot have bigger meetings. It is as well political as religious.
All right. And how do they, the police, the government, how do they relate to the gospel in terms of not what's called the three self church, the government church, but the genuine gospel churches in China? How does the government relate to them?
The house churches until today are still persecuted. Though China is quite interesting because there are provinces, you will say, oh, it's free, the gospel is free. But there are also other provinces, the people are persecuted and house churches are closed, and especially the leaders are imprisoned. Sometimes people just disappear and you can not find them back.
Are any people that you've worked with, has this happened to them where they've either been imprisoned or interrogated or disappeared?
Yes, my young friend one time disappeared for 3 days. His pastor disappeared for a couple of days. Yes, it still happens.
So when they disappear, they're being interrogated by police, basically?
Yes.
All right. And have you ever had to be on the run from the police in China?
Yes.
Tell me a story or two.
Yeah, one time I was in a capital city, invited by a pastor, and we came in the capital city, we were followed. We didn't know at first. We ended up in the pastor's home, and as soon we arrived and we were eating, there was a knock on the door, and people came in, and that was undercover police. And we had to hide ourselves. My young friend and I, so we were pushed into a bedroom. We had to turn off the lights and kept quiet. We must be quiet.
Wow. And what happened to the other people?
The police talked about 2 hours with the pastor and telling him that he could not have the meeting he was arranging for that time. Mm-hmm. They asked me to speak over there. But somehow the police discovered that this pastor would like to have a meeting. And the police told him, we listened to you on your cell phone and we know that you arranged a meeting, so we don't want you to have this meeting.
And have there been times where the Lord had you kind of one step ahead of the police, either gave you a strategy or just gave you a plan and somehow they didn't get in the way of it?
Well, actually, the police came that evening 2 times, and in the middle of the night, we had to flee, and we were brought out of the city in a village in which they had a Bible school. And we spent the night there, and the next morning, I had to preach, and again, police came. But they went back, and they said, we will come back with a car so that we can interrogate all of you. So in that time, we could flee, and we were in an undercover address in the capital city again.
I want you to be completely honest. I know you're courageous. I know you love doing the work of the Lord in China, and you feel God's favor on you. But when this is happening, were you terrified? Did you have peace? What was it like?
Well, some were a little annoyed with me, but... the Holy Spirit gave me joy.
Really?
And the whole time I was laughing, making fun with people. And actually it was good because some were afraid. And because I had the joy of the Lord in me at that time, they started to forget that they were so afraid.
Ah. Friends, this is real life. This is a single woman in her 50s in a foreign country in China, where she knows she could be kicked out of the country. She knows she could be interrogated. She knows she could be thrown in prison. She knows that the workers she's with could be beaten. They could be thrown in prison. Perhaps even worse could happen. And I know well enough and see her face as we're talking to know well enough that there is joy and grace and favor in the midst of this, and the joy of the Lord is real.
Amen.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the work that you're actually doing. It's an amazing vision the Lord's given you. And again, it's one of these things, one life at a time. Friend, I just want to remind you, in the States, one life at a time. You can make a difference wherever God has you, whatever situation you're in, whatever age, background. If you make yourself available, God can use you.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. I am joined by Mercy from the Netherlands, serving in China. Mercy, I was talking to Alice, who was on with me earlier today. She's 63, serving in Tanzania. So again, both of you single women. We've got families, large families, small families, single men on the field, single women. We've got the whole range. And you've had to deal with all the challenges. Chinese, what a difficult language. And yet, God's had you there. He's supplied. Before we talk about the specific work you're doing there, what can you say to men and women who may feel like, God can't use me, I'm disqualified, or I was divorced 20 years ago, or I'm single, or I'm older? What would you say to them, Mercy?
You know, actually, I'm a widow. And during that time, I also thought, well, God cannot use me. But I was so touched by his love during that time.
And how old were you when your husband died?
I was 41.
41. So that, and how old was he?
He was a little bit older. He was during that time in his 50s.
Okay, but still, it's very young for him to die, very young to become a widow. Mm. And yet, a few years after that, rather than just going into a shell or feeling sorry for yourself, you moved to another country here in America. You came to our ministry school, got trained and equipped. So that's very, very important to hear, because there are a lot of hurting people there, and sometimes life deals with them harshly, and they think that's it.
Yes.
But instead, this has just been a stepping stone to service. Go ahead.
Yes. So, yes, indeed, after my husband passed away, the Lord started to call me. And I was in a moment of a life, I thought, I need to do something. I need to change my life and just not sitting and waiting until something happens. Mm. So I started to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, full of passion, and ended up in the States.
Wow. And do you feel that you have a lot of special gifts, that you're an unusual kind of person that can do anything? Is that the way you feel about yourself?
No, not at all. I'm just, I always felt just as an average person, doing a job, having a house, having a car, and that's all, and having a common, normal, average life. So I didn't think I could do anything for the Lord.
Yeah, and I remember as a new believer hearing about missionaries. Whoa, missionaries. Wow, they're special. And they walk on the air. They don't even put their feet on the ground, and they're just such unusual people. And what we've seen now is we've sent out hundreds of workers by God's grace around the world. Is really all God has to work with is average people, isn't it?
Yes. You know, what I discovered is God wants a willing heart, not a perfect skills or anything, though he can use it, of course. But I thought I need to be a nurse. I don't know what I needed to be. He said, do you have a willing heart, and can I have all of you?
Yeah, boy, that's so powerful, Mercy. What are you doing now in China? I know you do a lot of different things, but the principal work the Lord has given you to do.
Right now I have a discipleship training school, and it is for poor people who cannot afford to go to a Bible school at all. do not have any means at all to do anything. They don't have a future. They don't have anything. And this school, we are training them for a whole year. Many times they come. That's mainly their age is from 13 till 25. And they come and they turned out that they are illiterate. Uh-huh. And we start first to teach them to read and write, and instantly to read the Bible, listening to stories, repeating the stories, and from there we work on into the Bible, going to New Testament survey, Old Testament survey.
And what happens to these kids now? How long have you been doing this?
Right now, this is our sixth year. We started in September, our sixth year.
Okay, and you have to not only live by faith for yourself and raise funds for yourself, but raise funds to pay for these other kids as well.
Yes, I provide everything for them.
Amazing, just amazing. Now you've been doing it 6 years. Have you been able to track any of these kids and young people and see the changes in their lives?
Yes, when they come, they use bad words, have bad attitude. But as soon as they are coming in, we are teaching them. We teach holiness class, teaching about the Lord died for them. And from that moment, we see little by little, step by step, the changes in their life. When they leave, their countenance is changed, their language is changed, and they are full followers of the Lord.
Wonderful. That's amazing. Mercy, I'm just blessed to have you as part of our Fire family. And just, you made yourself available to Jesus. And if you're in the Netherlands or in the States or in China, same God, same human beings, same needs. And last thing, we're just about out of time, but we hear the reports about the growth of the church in China, the amazing things God's doing. We know it's not perfect, but you've been there long enough. Can you verify that God is really moving and that there really is a great harvest taking place there?
Yes. Young people are hungry for the Lord. There is no future. What they do is studying, not having a real life, not being young. And there is a one-child policy. And the kids have a lot of responsibility to take care of their families. And sometimes they cannot bear this responsibility. And it turns out that they are many times desperate. They cannot meet the parents, what the parents set for them, that they need to go to the university. Sometimes they are not able to.
A lot of Asian pressure where there is education, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they need the gospel.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friends, we have an amazing CD, Live Songs from Fire School of Ministry. I want to get it into every one of your hands. This is one of the songs that was written by one of our students back then. She's from Germany and wrote this song. I just want to play a clip of it for you.
You have broken my wings of independence to heal me with your liberty. You have spoken words. Truth and power captured my heart for eternity, lost in your love, lost in your love.
My friends, these are songs from the front lines at Fire School of Ministry. I want to get this CD into every one of your hands, live songs that we put out. The best way to do it is your gift of any size. Help us with this radio broadcast. And I mean your gift of any size. I want to send this to you, postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. These songs will stir you and help equip you to want to be a world changer. 1-800-278-9978. You're helping us help people like Mercy on the front lines in China. So your gifts will be multiplied greatly this week. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line to you, I want to repeat the words that were just shared with you on the air. God is not looking for perfect skills, but for a willing heart. Do you have a willing heart?